Holy Spirit still works today. Pentecost is true today as it was 2,000 years ago. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to continue through Acts, but we're going to see, we're not going to concentrate on Acts 2:4, because we all know that one. But we're going to see how the Holy Spirit through the baptism works throughout the book of Acts. Continuing where we left off a couple of weeks ago. Pentecost, as you know, means 50. 7 weeks after the Passover, they celebrated the Jewish holiday of the Feast of Yields or the Feast of the Harvest. That part of the Jewish faith was the second greatest festival on their calendar. This is the time where the harvest came in and they took the first fruits of that harvest and they took it to the Lord as an offering, blessing God, thanking God for what he's given them, and trusting God for the harvest for the remainder of the year. The same way, Pentecost symbolizes the beginning of the harvest of souls in God's kingdom. The whole dynamic of how God worked with people had now changed. It came from the occasional touching of the Holy Spirit, a Holy Spirit coming on someone, to now everyone as a believer becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. We left off 2 weeks ago with Peter and John healing the crippled man, and around them everyone noticed what was going on. Acts 4:13, we left off with this. It says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. You need no special training to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need no special training to be used by God to be doing great and miraculous things. You do not have to be a pastor or a leader or a deacon. The Bible says these were ordinary men. Everybody else. Everyone is available to be used by God in that area. The question is, do they people see qualities like that in us? Do they recognize that we have been with Jesus? Or at least do they notice something different about us? When God intervenes in a miraculous way, it's always designed to bring God the glory. The healings, whatever God does, it's always designed to bring him glory. One commentary puts it this way. The meaning of Pentecost is God's equipping his church with the power of his Spirit so that he will be glorified among the nations. That's us. God is to be glorified through our lives, through what he does through us. So we're going to continue with verse 14. It says, but since the man who had been healed was standing right there among them, the council had nothing to say. You know, I'm one to tell you that you cannot go by experience alone. Everything we experience has to be backed up with Scripture. We can't just feel good about something without God verifying it through his word. But that does not negate the experience. When God moves in a miraculous way and he brings a healing or whatever God does, if it's backed up by his word, you can't deny the power of God, even though people try to explain things away. When God heals someone or delivers someone or provides for someone, we need to acknowledge it and celebrate it. That's why we had Jeff's testimony last week, those two video testimonies. Everyone has a testimony how God has done something in their life. It may not be as miraculous as that healing, but everything that God does, the fact that we are here, knowing Jesus, is a miracle. Just the fact that you are saved is a miracle of God. God's Holy Spirit got a hold of you, removed those blinders, and changed your life. The world tries to discount anything that's unexplainable or supernatural, or they explain it away by using something else. How many I've heard this. Aliens. They've already devised an explanation for the rapture. We were taken by aliens. That's what they're going to say when we're gone. So the world will use anything and everything to discount what God's doing, because to acknowledge that God is doing it means that everything they've done before is wrong. So they have to get God out of the equation, so they discount it by explaining it away. Now remember the folks that were around Peter and John when he was doing this. wanted them to stop doing what they were doing. So in order to have leverage and to make these folks stop giving them grief, God healed that man. The problem is the people around them could not discount what God had done. And a lot of times we are fearful about sharing with people the miracles that God does, because they either may not believe it or they try to explain it away, and it gives us fear, so we don't say anything. But the fact is, we need to be saying things about what God has done for us in the past. As we sang, trusting that God will do it again. There will always be people that try to avoid it and discount it, discount God that's doing it, attribute it to anything other than God. But we have to be convinced in our mind that it is and was God that was working. We started a new session in our teen Sunday school class. It's called Faith and Doubt. It's actually a book by that name. How many here have ever had doubts about your faith? You doubt something that's happening. You doubt that God's going to work. You know, it's okay to have doubts, right? What does doubt make you do? Doubt makes you search it out to find the truth. So when you have a doubt, it's okay to dig in to find out if it's true or not. And a lot of times when people have doubts, they use those doubts to dig in to find out for themselves. And when we testify, we give an example of what God has done, that puts doubt in people's mind. And what do? Maybe they search it out. Maybe they find out more about it. And maybe that's how God uses that to bring them to himself. We have to be convinced in ourselves that it was God. How many have ever found yourself trying to explain a miracle away by some natural turn of events? I'll give you a perfect example. When Lauren was healed of cerebral palsy, the doctor instantly tried to explain it away by saying, well, she never had it, or she grew out of it. That was the explanation we got. And if you know what that is, you know that's impossible to do. And the doctor we dealt with just would not acknowledge it was a miracle of God. And every once in a while, you doubt, maybe she didn't have it. Maybe it was something else. And the enemy puts those doubts in your mind to get the thought out of your mind that it actually was a miracle of God. And that's when we have to dig in and find the truth and know that it was God that did it. Why? Because God gets the glory through the healings and the miracles. If we explain it away, then God gets no glory. This healing that these two gentlemen did not take place in a vacuum. It was not done in the temple. It was done outside the temple. Why? Because the miracle was designed to give Peter and John an opportunity to preach the gospel to those around them. The miracle was an opportunity for them to share to the people that were there. Without the miracle, they would not have a platform from which to talk. But the people there could not deny what God had done, and so they were curious. And it gave them a chance to preach to them. But as we'll see in a couple of weeks, every opportunity to preach and witness always came with a cost. How many realize that? And when we're reluctant to share, we may have good reason to be, because maybe we'll be ridiculed or laughed at or made fun of or ignored. But as we find out, that did not deter these two, and it should not deter us from doing that. So now you have the people that are trying to figure out how to get these guys to stop preaching. Acts 4:15, it says, so they sent Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. What should we do with them? They asked each other. We can't deny they have done a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it. Again, when God does something, it's verifiable that people can't doubt something happened. They can't explain it. They may try to explain it away, but they know something has happened. Verse 17, but perhaps we can stop them from spreading their propaganda. We'll warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in and told them never again to speak or teach about Jesus. You know, this kind of stuff always amazes me. They healed someone. They did a good thing, right? And yet, people were afraid of it. People didn't want to hear about it anymore. They didn't want them doing any more good things. You ever wonder why people are so antithetical to Christianity? That when we do good, they always come against us for some negative reason. And I bring that back to, it's a spiritual battle. Even when we do good things, the enemy comes against you. What threat was this man's healing to anyone? Why did anyone care if one lowly beggar got healed? Why? Why would anyone care about that? Why was it so important that the entire council got together and decided to persecute these guys for one thing? Because it's a spiritual battle. And one that we cannot fight on our own and win. How many have tried to do that? The reason for Pentecost is so we can fight a spiritual battle with the power of God's Spirit to win it. Acts 4:19, Peter and John replied, "Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about the wonderful things we have seen and heard." Just like these folks here who saw a good thing. People are not going to want to hear about spiritual victories. They're not going to want to hear about spiritual things and how God is working. And they will do everything to change the subject and do things to shut us up. When I get into a conversation with anyone, I have to watch the rabbit trails. How many have ever? Whenever you talk to someone who's not a believer, they will always ask you a question that kind of takes you away from the gospel. They'll either ask you about abortion or homosexuality, something like those that are in the news today. And what that's designed to do, the enemy wants to get your focus off of Jesus and onto that issue. You have to stay on the issue of Jesus. Bring it back around to Jesus. These guys said, hey, we're not going to stop talking. We're going to tell everyone about Jesus, and we're going to tell them what we have personally seen or heard, period. We're not going to get into politics. We're not going to get into anything else. We're going to talk about the wonderful things we've seen Jesus do. And as Christians, that's all we have to focus on when we talk to someone. What has Jesus done for you? And the more that you do that, the more the Holy Spirit gets in and uses you as a vessel to reach somebody else. Now remember, this is the same Peter that just a couple of weeks earlier was afraid to talk to anybody. Couldn't talk to the girls in the garden, was afraid of everybody. Thought Jesus had rejected him. He gets baptized in the Spirit, and now he defies the people that control his fate. The same people that 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, he was afraid to say anything. And now he had the power to defy the people that could kill him at that moment. The Holy Spirit gives you the boldness. It gives you the ability to speak not under your own power, but under the power of the Holy Spirit to talk to someone. In our own ability, we would give up, right? Without having the Holy Spirit in our lives to equip us with what to say, we would have nothing to say because it's the Spirit that brings this stuff back to our minds. As you read, as you study God's Word, it sits in there somewhere until you need it. And what happens? The Holy Spirit brings it back. And he brings back exactly what you need at the time you need it. You heard the one testimony of how God spoke to other people about what was going to happen. God still does that today. Anybody ever got waking up in the middle of the night? Felt an urge to pray? You don't know what you're praying for, or maybe you do. But God wakes you up to start praying. It's the Holy Spirit waking you up. The Holy Spirit's still active today, still getting your attention, still using you to affect his will. In our own ability, we could not do it. We'd give up. But Pentecost fills every believer with the power, what? To be my witnesses. And you know what? That is what keeps you going. As what continues to feed you the desire to do that. Have you ever felt the desire to not do it? Or, I guess a better way to do it is, the desire to do it is getting weaker and weaker. Have you noticed that that corresponds to maybe a weakening and weakening time of prayer, time of reading God's word, having a relationship? The Holy Spirit, you have to feed, you have to continue. The Bible says to continue to be filled with the Spirit, because God knows if we're not continually filled, we will stray away and we will lose the desire and the ability to do it. Acts 4:21 says, the council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. Why do I believe that healing and stuff is still for today? Because God still wants people to witness that power, and he still wants people to get saved, and he still uses that to bring glory to his name. Amen? Does he not do that? None of those things has changed in 2,000 years. People will still give you grief. People will still not believe you. But people will not be able to deny what God has done in and through you and around you. Just like these folks, they couldn't deny it. Everyone was praising God for it. They saw it. They couldn't deny it. But they still wanted to get them to stop talking. This here was a very objectively verifiable miracle, an impossible scenario to happen without God being involved. That's the kind of stuff we want to see today, right? We want to see a verifiable miracle. I still have doubts about the things I see on TV sometimes, because usually they're an unverifiable miracle. I have back pain, something that you can't really quantify. And I've been in healing services. People walk out going, I'm healed. 2 days later, oh, my back still hurts. We want to see and experience a true miracle of God. Things that are verifiable. This guy's healing was absolutely verifiable by everyone. And I believe that's how God works. He works in verifiable miracles. If God still works this way and uses these powers so that people can see them, then why do people think that Pentecost is not for today? This is my own opinion on this. I always tell you if it's my opinion. I believe that people have that view because they're afraid of it. They're afraid of the misuses and abuses of it. And we've all experienced them. We've all seen them. So in order to not have any of the grief and abuses that happen, we just won't have it at all. We just believe that it stopped, and we're not going to entertain that at all. Rather than, you know, one thing about Pentecost is you kind of got to give up control, don't you? You can't come in with a set plan doing what you're going to do and let the Holy Spirit have his way. Now, you all know I'm kind of an agenda freak, but you have to be able to let go and let God do something. If you try to control every single situation in a service or in your life, it's not going to work. You have to leave room for God to do it. And that scares people. We got to let God do what he's going to do. Now look at the last part of this verse. Verse 22, it says, the healing of a man who had been lame for what? More than 40 years. Do you think that this guy prayed to be healed? Maybe. He came to the temple every day begging for 40 years. But it took more than 40 years for God to do something in this guy's life. It may take many years before God intervenes in a situation. The question is, how persistent are we in prayer? You know, after 40 years, I might quit coming to this. The guy who came to the Pool of Siloam, my question has always been for that guy, why doesn't he sit like right on the edge? You know what the Bible says, the angel stirred up the water and the first guy in got healed. I'm thinking, I wouldn't be sitting 50 yards away from the pool. I'd be sitting like right next to it. So I would fall into it if the angel stirred the water. But both of them, they were persistent. This guy came every day for however many years he was able to come. The guy at the pool, he came every day hoping to get in the pool. How persistent are we in prayer? Do we continue to trust if we have not seen any result in years? It gets frustrating, doesn't it? You pray and you trust, nothing happens. And nothing happens. And years go by and nothing happens. 20 years go by, nothing happens. 30 years go by, nothing happens. 40 years. We're praying for people that we may not ever see get saved because we may be gone. Doesn't mean that God's not working and God's not going to answer that prayer. It just may take years for that to happen. The parable of the woman and the unjust judge. You know the story? Woman keeps nagging this wicked judge, and he says, just to shut her up, I'm going to give her what she wants. And the whole point of that was she was persistent. She kept coming. She kept coming and nagging him and nagging him. When I pray, God, nag them with your spirit until they can't stand it anymore. Just nag them, nag them, nag them. Don't get that thought out of your mind. Just let it be all-consuming in your life. You want me praying for you, I guess. Acts 4:23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John found the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. Then all the believers were united as they lifted their voices in prayer. What's happening? God had just done a miracle through them, which ultimately enabled them to share the gospel with everyone there. And guess what? Many of the people got saved. The miracle in and of itself wasn't proof of God because, you know, not every miracle, the Bible says the enemy can do miraculous things. But it was something to get their attention and to give them the opportunity to preach. I've said it before, miracles are not meant to be in and of themselves. They're meant to be used as a platform from which to share God who did the miracle, God who did the healing. Peter used Old Testament scriptures to make the point of what was happening in the New Testament era. Peter gave God the glory for the miracle, told them that the rulers and leaders couldn't disprove what God had done. And then all the people worshiped God for achieving what God did. You know, we come here on Sunday morning and we worship God. We should come in with testimonies of how God has worked through your life throughout the week. Hear those testimonies just like they did and worship God for allowing us to be used by him. They were giving testimony to those who weren't there so they could also know what God had done and be encouraged by it. The people who were in the prayer meeting weren't necessarily at the place where the man was healed. So they were coming back and telling them, hey guys, this is what happened. God healed this guy. We got to preach to all these people. A lot of them got saved. And all the people rejoiced, not at the healing, but at the miracle God had done in many, many folks getting saved. And you know what that did for them? That encouraged that group to do the same. Acts 4:24 says, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit to our ancestor King David, your servant, saying, why did the nations rage? Why did the people waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and his Messiah. You know what they were doing? In this worship time, they weren't just praying. They were praying the scripture. They were praying God's word. God's word and prayer must always go together. We need to know what God says about prayer, how God answers prayer, what to pray for, and what not to pray for. When we pray, you know, the Bible says, the closer you get to God, God gives you the desires of your heart. Well, that's because God puts those desires in you. I asked the teens today, and I'll ask you, Do you think that God has one perfect mate for you? Only one. Do you think God has one perfect career for you? Just one. Or do you think that God puts a desire in you and allows you to choose based on your relationship with Jesus? He gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. He gives you the word, which you can discriminate with. Use that to have God guide you into what God wants for you. If you want to be a nurse, I believe if you're close to God, God puts that desire in your heart. You find one spouse, God puts you together. If you're prayed up, we went into the don't be unequally yoked thing. They're probably sick of hearing that. But man, I beat that every week. How you relate to Christ is how God directs you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that directs you into situations. He directs you into your career. He directs you into your spouse. He directs you if you allow him to do that. And these guys were praying the scripture. They wanted to know what God's word said about a situation. I heard an example once where a lady came in, not to me, but it was an example I read in a book somewhere. A woman came in to the local pastor and said, you know, pastor, I feel God's leading me to the mission field. Pastor's like, okay. Lady says, yeah, he's telling me to divorce my husband and go to the mission field. Is that seeking what God says? Because it doesn't matter what you experience, what you think you're hearing, it goes against God's word. So you have to be sure that what you're hearing and what you're praying is what God's word says first. John 15:7-8 says, if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask or request anything you like and it will be granted. A lot of people focus on the last part of that verse. They forget about the first part. Remain in me, and my words remain in you. Then, and only then, I'll give you what you ask. Because if you do the first, what you ask will be God-directed. And so, sure, if God directed it, then God's going to provide it for you. They were praying that what they were experiencing was already foretold in God's word. Pentecost. It's not something that we just dreamed up. It's something that was foretold in God's word in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament, is a part of Christianity today based on Scripture. One of the things that I was telling the kids is when you talk about doubt, it hopefully makes you figure out if it's true or not. Doubt causes you to find out what the answer is. And I say, if you doubt something, you doubt something in God's word, then you go to God's word to find out if it's true. Maybe you've heard someone say something, or maybe I've said something, or whatever, and you're doubting it, you're questioning it. Go find out what it says. Answer the doubt. With Pentecost, you have to answer the doubt. And God's word answers the doubt in your mind because it was foretold in the Old Testament, it happened in the New Testament. It never says it ended in the New Testament. It is for today to experience that power. Acts 4:27 says, this is what happened here in this city. God did something in the Old Testament, told them it was going to happen in the New Testament. It happens, and these guys are saying, hey, it happened. It happened here, just like God's word said in Joel, just like God's word said in Acts 2. It's happening just as he said it. God, we're seeing this right now. Pentecost was foretold in God's word, and we shouldn't be surprised when it happens today. You know, the story when Peter was in jail, and they were praying for him to get out, and he gets out and knocks on the door, and no one thought it was him. Oh, Peter's in jail. He can't be out. Well, what are you praying for? I'm praying for him to get out. Well, he's out. Right. Yeah, he couldn't get into his own prayer meeting. We shouldn't be surprised and we should not doubt that God is going to do something. As they did and as they prayed, they understand that God's word is going to happen, and it did. Do we pray for God's word to do what it says he's going to do? Acts 4:27, this is what has happened here in this city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Along with the great things of Pentecost, what did Jesus say? It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. You are going to face persecution and grief, so don't be surprised when you do. At that time, the whole government and the leaders of the church and all the religious folks were all against them. Does that sound familiar? Just like today, people in positions of authority and power are basically opposed to what we believe. Don't be surprised that it's that way. Acts 4:28 says, in fact, everything they did occurred according to your eternal will and plan. So that means every time the Holy Spirit moves, we shouldn't be surprised. And every time the Holy Spirit moves and the enemy comes at us, we shouldn't be surprised. It should make us dig our heels in and see that the enemy is opposed to what God is doing. And just like these guys, you'll find out later, they were in jail, they were beaten, and they were laughing while they were in jail and singing songs while they're getting beat. That's how people see Christianity. Jesus said that was going to happen. John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. Anybody have trouble? Anybody not have any trouble? But take heart, I have overcome the world. This life isn't all there is, right? The older you get, you realize how fast it's going. But man, you know what's coming. But you find out when people are against you, they're not really against you. They're against Jesus. John 15:18 says, when the world hates you, remember it hated me before it hated you. With all the opposition these guys faced, they could have said, you know what? I'm out. Too hard for me. I don't want to face these guys. I could do more if I'm not in jail. I could be a better Christian if just leave me alone. I'll live my own life, not tell anybody. I don't want to break the law. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. They could have all quit when they faced the opposition. But they didn't. They doubled down on what God called them to do. Acts 4:29 says, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Are you energized when hardship comes your way? Are you excited? No one's excited. No one likes it. But as we said many times, the enemy only comes after that or who is doing God's work. If you're doing the work, expect trouble. The reason they could face it, the reason they could ask for the boldness, it's because of Pentecost. They got the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, you will be my witnesses. And what are they asking God for? Ability to preach boldly. In spite of the persecution they knew was going to happen. God told them to wait in Acts 1, say, stick around, you can't do this on your own. You'll fail. Peter, remember the garden, you'll fail. Stick around. I'm going to give you the power to do it. They needed the Holy Spirit to give them something they didn't have themselves, something they couldn't muster up themselves. They had to overcome fear. They had to overcome doubt. They had to overcome what they knew was coming. But man, when they did that, they experienced the miraculous. When they stepped out, in spite of all that, under God's anointing, people are healed. People delivered. Thousands are saved. That's the difference. Trying to do it yourself versus the Holy Spirit. The question is, do we want to experience the same miracles that God did then? If they're for today, then we should experience them. Then we first need to overcome our fear and doubt about sharing the gospel. We need to overcome our doubt that God is going to work. Sometimes I think we have too much, and so we don't have to rely on God for a whole lot. These guys had to rely on God for every single thing they did. Once we do that, and we trust the Holy Spirit to work through us, I believe we're going to see God's power. I mean, it's something right now as simple as chairs. And who cares about chairs? But I think God is allowing us to see that because it's not about chairs, it's about people. That means each one of us, every one of us, has a mission field. When was the last time we invited someone to church? When was the last time we really talked to someone about Christ? I mean, really talked to them. Acts 4:30, they end their prayer with this. Send your healing power, may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Note the order of the prayer. Give us the boldness to preach, and then work miracles to back up what we say. And I don't believe that's changed. 2,000 plus years, that has not changed. God still wants people to be saved. God still wants us to share the gospel. And God is about the business of doing what it takes to get people saved. The day of Pentecost was God's day of empowerment. But it's not a one and done. It didn't just happen in Acts 2:4. And it didn't just happen the day we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a continuing occurrence so that every generation can experience the power and the results that these guys did, our grandparents did, we did, our kids, our grandkids. If we want the miraculous, not just for the miraculous in itself, but we want to see people come to know Christ, then we need God's power to do that, because we can't do it in our own strength. What better day than Pentecost to be filled with the Spirit? To trust God to infill you with the power that comes from that. I know it's a little after 12. I've still got 7 pages of notes. No, I don't. Sorry, not sorry. If you want to experience that power, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, what better day than Pentecost to do that? Would you stand with me? And what I'm going to ask you to do, if you have not been filled with the baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's something you've been seeking for a while, and you want to experience the same thing that these guys have experienced, that many of us have experienced, then today is the day to do that. I want you to, if you've not ever been baptized, but you want it, you're seeking it, the disciples, they sought it in the upper room. Didn't come right away, they had to keep praying for it. If you want to experience that, I want you to come down right now. We're going to pray for you for that today. And I'm going to have some folks stand behind you and agree with you in prayer that you receive that. Everyone's been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Awesome. Now, the second part of that is, if you want to be continually filled, Bible says you don't get it once and then that's it. Bible says, I think it's in Ephesians, continue to be filled. Keep being filled. It's like your gas tank. You don't fill it once and that's it. You fill it, if you're like me, every other day. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. If you want to experience that, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up front. We sang that song, Come to the Altar. There's no significance in, quote, the altar in Scripture. But there is power when agreement is made in one place. They were in the upper room in one accord, the Bible says. So we're going to be up front in one accord, one seeking the power of God in this church. So I'm going to ask you to come up front right now and be filled, continue to be filled with the Spirit of God. Day of Pentecost, God filled his church with his power to accomplish his will. The will for every church is to bring more people to faith. That's the ultimate goal. We can worship in heaven. We can pray in heaven. We'll know God's word in heaven. But the only thing we can't do when we're in heaven is bring people with us. The goal of the church is to have the power of God to be witnesses. And that involves God doing the miraculous to give us a platform and verification that what we say is true. Just take a moment and ask God to fill you right now with his power, the power that God is freely wanting to give. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for calling us out of the world. Thank you for calling us into the glorious light of your love for us. And thank you for empowering us to live the life you've called us to live. We know in our own strength we cannot do it. In our own abilities we can't reach anyone. But God, you've provided the power, the ability, and the strength to do what you have called each one of us to do. The church is the people. It's not the building. As we as the church leave today, we pray that we have opportunity to share the gospel with people we come in contact with. We pray that God, you would give us holy boldness, that the Spirit would come upon us in power and words and deeds to be able to verify what you're doing. The man was not healed in the temple. He was healed outside, where everyone saw it and everyone could say it had to be God. Lord, help us to be able to do great things outside of these confines so that people see the power of God not in operation in a building, but in operation in the lives of your people. Father, enable us, equip us, fill us. You've given us, your word says, all we need for life and godliness. Help us to use that ability every day. Fill us, Lord. Keep filling us. As we use it up, fill us again. As you work through us and we say out and we do out things from the Spirit, fill us again. Continue to have our tanks full of the Spirit of God, so that we are always ready, as your word says, to give an answer to all those who ask of the hope within us. Help us do it with gentleness and respect. Thank you for the dedication that's here today, and I pray, God, that you would continue to use each one of us to further your kingdom, to affect change in the communities in which we live. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to continue being filled with the Spirit. And we commit ourselves to being used by you in the power of that Spirit. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is Spirit. Don't forget to be used by God this week.